Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining us again in our series designed to provide some detailed information about COVID-19 and its impact on our industry. I'm very happy today to be joined by Max Kuntz, who's our Chief Claims Officer at Sedgwick. Max, thanks a lot for joining me this afternoon.
Glad to be here, Kathy.
We have a couple of questions, and there's obviously so much going on in the way of both workers' compensation and general liability claims caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. So let's first talk about some jurisdictional items. I know that there's, you know, we're working hard to keep up with all of the changes. So what are some of the trends that you're seeing jurisdictionally as a result of COVID-19 across the United States?
Well, most of the jurisdictional changes we're seeing really involve the workers' compensation area for COVID-19. And a lot of state agencies or governor's offices are coming out with guidance on how COVID-19 should be dealt with from a workers' compensation perspective. Most of those are simply issuing directives or executive orders that simply say that workers' compensation obviously is available for COVID-19, so not really any impact on those individual states. But we are seeing some states go somewhat deeper as to defining what is compensable for a COVID-19 claim, and the primary area we're seeing its impact is for obviously first responders and healthcare, since everyone sees them is out there in the public, rapidly doing everything they can to minister those who have COVID-19 and also protect us from a public standpoint. So when you look at those states, you're seeing right now, I think there's probably 7 or 8 states. You got Wisconsin, Missouri, Washington, Michigan, North Dakota, Alaska, and Minnesota have all come out with some type of rebuttable presumption with regard to compensability for COVID-19 for first responders and also healthcare workers. A couple of states have taken it a step further, and they have issued executive orders or executive directives that actually encompass a broader group, healthcare workers and first responders, from the standpoint of also encompassing other groups that may be working in what they call kind of frontline individuals. And one particular group that's being included in this is grocery workers or retail. And they're actually saying that a presumption exists for them for coverage on the workers' compensation space also. Most of these laws are being done by governor direction or agency direction. A couple of states have actually gone through the legislature and offered that. From a legislative standpoint, the one group that, or one state that has issued somewhat of a unique approach to this is the state of Alaska, which actually said it was a conclusive presumption, so that if a healthcare worker or first responder is diagnosed with COVID-19, it would automatically be covered by workers' compensation.
Okay. And speaking of jurisdictions, Max, one of the other topics we've been talking a lot, you and I, with customers are some of the impacts on the boards and commissions nationwide. We're seeing a lot of them that are temporarily closed, or in certain states, the judges or arbitrators are only hearing very significant emergency petitions or claims. So what advice are we giving to employers and our claim teams about how to best handle the situations where we might have a claim, but we're trying to deal with or work around some delays at these boards?
The main thing that we're reminding our teams is the fact that I would say that every state that has closed its offices to in-person meetings is allowing things to be conducted, such as hearings, administrative processes that require conversations between the parties through telephonic means or doing things through virtual avenues. And this would be things like video conferencing, that they're actually conducting some hearings and some trials actually in this manner, encouraging depositions to be done in that way. Some of the other things that they've talked about and some agencies have come out with is how to have documents notarized, even though you're not actually in the same location with the other person, that you can actually do it in a virtual environment. They're trying to come up with creative ways to allow things to proceed to some extent. And what we're trying to do is make sure that our examiners actually know of what those avenues are. And so we have provided them, and keep it up to date, a 50-state analysis on approaches that they can take that are being allowed by the state agencies and commissions to continue to conduct business in some form or fashion. So what we're trying to stress to them is the fact that just because an agency is closed doesn't mean that it's not trying to conduct business to some extent. And we need to make sure that we're checking on what extent is allowed and being sure that we actually pursue those avenues to the greatest extent possible in the management of our claims if they're to that point. So when you're talking about settlements, when you're talking about continuing on with the legal process and depositions and different things like that, is being able to take advantage of those additional avenues that are available, and don't just let a claim sit and languish just because right now everybody is practicing social distancing.
That's a great point, Max. Thanks. Another hot topic. Now, I know COVID is having wide and reaching impacts, not just on claims that are being made related directly to disease, but also to claims that exist that don't have anything to do with COVID. So we're really thinking and talking a lot with customers about the impact of COVID on non-COVID related claims, either that were open prior or people who need medical treatment and such right now. Can you talk a little bit about how we're handling the challenges of getting appropriate access to resources, whether that be medical care or case management resources or other resources for injured workers during this time of COVID-19?
Yes, and that's a big piece of it, because we don't want the claims to just languish while we're in this current pandemic environment and with nothing being done. When you think about the impact that can have, it can be pretty detrimental to everything, especially in the workers' compensation space. So what we tried to do is make sure that everyone is aware, especially from the standpoint of the examiners, is what do we need to be doing to continue to provide the medical care and the resources needed for the individual injured worker so that their claim can continue to always work towards producing that positive outcome, getting it resolved at a natural cadence type environment, and make sure that it's not simply sitting around, which is actually helping no one. So what we've done is we've actually made sure that our examiners have the communication tools in front of them to talk about what the alternatives are. One of the things that we saw the CDC come out with very early on in response to the COVID pandemic was that they issued directive to say that any elective surgery or routine follow-up care, medical treatment should be postponed at this time. As you can imagine, that's very disruptive to the continuity of care that's necessary in the workers' compensation environment. So to approach that, first thing we did is make sure that we still have plenty of clinics that are available out there for our injured workers to be able to attain the medical treatment that they need. One area is we've actually worked with our partners to make sure that those are available. We've actually provided lists to our examiners so that they know the locations and the hours that those clinics are available. The second component to that, specifically to the clinics, is that, as you can imagine, a lot of injured workers are somewhat timid or concerned about going into a doctor's office where someone might have COVID-19. And they're afraid of being exposed to that virus. And, you know, obviously because of the exposure, they're afraid that they might catch it. So the opportunity is to actually help them understand the things that are being done by the clinics to actually ensure that they are clean, so that they're not being put in close proximity to someone that may have COVID-19 or that they may feel might be sick. And some of the things that they're focusing on from that standpoint of patient safety is just pre-screening by the clinical staff before anyone enters the facilities. So doing things like a temperature check. Also having remote check-in so that injured workers actually don't come into the waiting room until it's actually time for their appointment. Isolation rooms that they're setting up for those who feel ill and still need to be seen, and really looking at how they can ensure that they've got the right, or ensuring that they have the right protocols in place at the clinic to control any possible infection and making sure that they're clean and sanitized and different things like that. So we're making sure that our examiners have those talking points to communicate with the injured workers so that they have a comfort level if they will actually go into the clinics that are still open at this time and available for that treatment. The alternative is that if they still don't feel comfortable going into that actual physical visit, then utilizing all the resources that are available from the standpoint of telemedicine. And there's tremendous opportunities for that and its utilization across the board. And it's kind of one of the things that has come out of the pandemic that is actually a positive in the workers' compensation environment. If you recall, you know, you go back just 6 months ago, and we had very few states that were really allowing to a great degree or helping promote telemedicine in the workers' compensation space. Since that time, when you talk about agency direction, we have seen numerous states, if not virtually all states, definitely a majority, have come out and issued rules to support telemedicine and how it can work within the workers' compensation environment, which allows us a great avenue to plug in and utilize it in so that our injured workers can actually get the medical treatment that they need. Our managed care team has done a tremendous job of setting up avenues so that we can utilize that with our partners to the greatest degree possible, making sure that it's available from physical therapy, from getting people prepared for any type of surgery that may be coming up in the future, case management to allay just normal fears that may be associated with everything that is going on, and helping folks feel very comfortable with the telemedicine process and supporting that to the greatest degree. And that's probably, as I said, one of the greatest things, one of the positive things that has come out of this environment is that it's actually being utilized to a great degree to help us with ensuring that we still have that continuity of care from a medical standpoint.
Great.
Obviously, obviously, one of the other challenges that we're facing in the current environment is just the off-work capacity. With a lot of employers that have either had to close their doors because of the shelter-at-home directives that have come out of the state government agencies, or because the lack of business that they're having, the different things that have impacted the business environment today, that we've seen a lot of businesses that are closed at this point in time. So that does impact the off-work status of many of the injured workers. And so when you see that in the environment, one of the things that we're working with our examiners on, okay, how does that put you in a picture to try to help bring the claim to resolution from the standpoint of the medical care? What needs to be done so that you can actually approach the disability management, if you can't get them back to work, is working at least on the medical side to get them to maximum medical improvement to that point where, number one, if they're in a position for their claim to return to full work as soon as possible once the employers do open back up, but also helping them adjust from the standpoint of the medical care that they're being received and actually make sure that they've gotten the care and hopefully bring their claim to some type of resolution as soon as possible for them and Great. For the employers that are involved in it.
Great. Thanks, Max. And one final question. You know, we're all caught up today in the short term with everybody's lives being disrupted and really dealing with an unexpected situation here. When you think about the long term for workers' compensation and general liability, what are some of the longer-reaching impacts you think the pandemic may have on those types of exposures?
Well, obviously, probably the biggest impact is for both areas, liability and workers' compensation, is the fact that the state agencies that we work through to manage workers' compensation claims are closed. So their level of interaction available is not as high as it would be if they were open. And this also affects the court system. So that when you look on the liability side, if you had trials that were scheduled, if you had motions that were needing to be heard as part of the litigation on the liability side, all of those things have been, if not completely postponed, have been slowed down to a great degree. On the workers' compensation side, if you look at the impact to the medical care and just how it seems to be going at a little bit slower pace, something that we're trying to keep on track, however. But regardless, it is being slowed down to some degree. Return to work is being slowed down to some degree, which in turn, for all of those, impacts the duration. So just how long the claim is open and trying to keep it on track as best as possible. So when you look at that, we're going to see for this period of time that claims are going to increase in duration. The challenge with that is going to be how fast can you get it, the claim or the litigation or the lawsuit or whatever it is, how fast can you get it back on track once the claim, once this period passes, once we're through this pandemic and we're able to get out of our homes and actually resume some semblance of normalcy in the way that we're conducting our lives. What that's going to do in turn is actually, because it's duration on the workers' compensation side, we're going to see some level of increase in cost. When you think about the fact that people may not be going to the doctor as often, it means you're going to have to continue disability benefits, if payments, if the length of time between the actual appointments is longer, you've got longer periods of disability that you're paying, the fact that people don't have jobs to go back to, it's on a state-by-state basis, but you'll have to look at that jurisdiction. How does that impact continuation of disability benefits? Those things just lengthen the duration of the claims. On the liability side, they're not moving through the process, the court system as rapidly as they were in the past. So that's going to lengthen just the duration of those claims. Obviously, with lengthened duration, experience tells us that claims become somewhat more expensive. And so you're going to see an more expensive claim period during this time that will be impactful to our clients and their loss picks and the trends that are developed out of those. Obviously, our objective is to be as impactful as we can in the things that we're trying with the examiners to lessen the overall duration to the extent that we can, I guess, would be the way I would put it. There's things that we can do, and we've already talked about how we're trying to focus on those. But the concern is it's going to develop a new trend. And how does that new trend then impact your loss cost overall for your business? And then how does that play in when you're sitting down with your carriers and your actuaries later on in the year and trying to project what the future is going to look like? Hopefully it will be a temporary blip and something we'll be able to isolate and really identify for our clients and help them with those discussions when they come up at some point in the near future so that what they see is just a blip, not something that's actually changing any kind of trend that they have with regard to their loss cost, but just something that was temporary in nature. We got it back on track as soon as possible, and it can be explained, and therefore hopefully not given as much weight as could be sometimes when you're having those discussions.
Great. Thanks a lot, Max. I really appreciate your time today. I know that you've had a lot of interaction with the states and our customers, and we really appreciate having you available as an expert resource across the board. Thanks a lot for joining today, and we'll look forward to catching up again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.